Chips used to pull in Boston.
Great time in life.
Was there much trouble at the clubs ever?
Well, there wasn't what you'd call much trouble. A fight would break out every once in a while, but they had these big bounces. Oh, these guys were enormous. The minute a fight would break out, they'd grab it and it'd stop it immediately. Hmm. Well, I would say it was pretty good.
What clubs in the combat zone were you playing at?
Izzy Oz.
Billy Ranch.
She's got them all.
And the Silver Dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Silver Dollar.
Intermission
Lounge. I think Izzy Oz was one of the first places to close down.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you play the the Mohawk Ranch?
Yes. I just played one night down there, that's all.
Okay.
I filled in for somebody down there.
Now, people tell me that it sounds like the Hillbilly Ranch and the Mohawk Ranch were the two.
They were.
Country clubs.
The Hillbilly Ranch and the Mohawk Ranch were the two biggest. I think they were owned by brothers, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
The Hillbilly, no, I'm sorry.
The Mohawk was owned by two Greek guys,
That's the place.
Yeah.
Two Greek guys, that's right.
Have you heard of the Lone Star Ranch? Anybody talk about that? Yeah.
Yeah, did you play there?
Yeah.
I just came across pictures with Gene Laverne on the stage and my daughter up there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a... Yeah,
did you play all the ranches or just the Lone
Star?
No,
because at the time being when I was playing, I was playing Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon
and
Lynn, so I didn't have time really.
We tried to spend some time.
So I really didn't have time to play the ranches too much.
Wow, you sounded like you were really busy.
No, I was.
You were working all the time and then playing almost every
night. Absolutely.
Wow.
Positively.
Now, how did you must have liked what he was doing then?
I worked right around the corner from here.
Doing what?
While my kids, we worked in Parkwood making
laminated products.
Laminated for countertops,
yep.
You know that, and for mica.
Yep.
Yeah.
For what? Furniture and walls. That's what I did.
Okay.
I worked in Parkwood, but I was right around the corner.
How much time did you guys get?
Very little time at the time being. Very little.
Yeah.
Very little time until I gave up that job I told you that they put me on nights, and then I started to play just nights. I'd be home during the day, and I would cook when the kids come in. I'd cook their meals for lunch.
They used to go home for lunch school.
I'd cook their meals, you know.
You didn't bring your lunch to school. They came home.
And then when she came home from work, I'd try to have supper ready for her, and I'd shave and shower, and I'd go out. I'd go to work, and she'd see her. Yeah, I was a good cook, yeah. I could cook almost anything at the time being. But they were exciting times. The front door would open, the back door would close.
Wow.
That was great. Well, you know, if you wanted to get ahead in those days, Cliff, it's like today. Everybody's working two or three jobs.
Yeah.
And there was no different back then.
Wow.
If you wanted to get ahead.
Those were good times. You could live on little money in those days,
yeah.
Not like it is nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, today's.
I mean, now you can't live unless you push buttons.
Today it's different.
When we got married, we had an ice box. We used to have the ice man come.
Yeah, there's no refrigerators at the time.
Now everything is button.
Yeah.
What happens if your buttons go? You can't survive. Really? I always say that, you know.
Yeah.
You can't survive.
But they were wonderful times, you know. Geez, I look back at them and look back at my childhood. And I was so satisfied with the way things went. My mother was a wonderful woman. She had very little money. She was on welfare. She had very, very little money, and I remember begging her for a nickel to try to see a show. I think the show, at the time being, there was 6 cents to get into the theater. You'd see two movies. You'd see all the comics. And I used to beg my mother. She didn't have a nickel to send me to the show. And they were still good times, mm-hmm. Wonderful times.
I used to ask my father for a penny for an ice cream. We used to go to the store, and they used to put it on with the teaspoon.
Yeah,
I still have
days.
The spoons. They give you a little spoon.
Nice, yeah.
I have a little spoon. They used to put it in a little scoop, and that was a thrill for a penny.
Huh.
I wouldn't give up what I did for nothing. It was just a wonderful time in life. And my mother was really upset when she found out that I was playing in bars, because my father was a very heavy drinker. And he really died. He died from walking pneumonia. It's mostly due to the fact that he was drinking. And I remember my mother crying her eyes out, saying, "You're going to follow your father's footsteps and your older brother's footsteps." He was a drunk too, drinking. Sorry to express it that way, but that's what they were at the time being. And I made her a promise then. I said, "Ma, you'll never see me like Pa or like Tommy." I said, "I promise you, I will never drink." And I never did. I never took a drink in my life. I don't know what the taste of liquor is. I owned the nightclub for 23 years. And I don't know what beer tastes like, wine tastes like, whiskey taste. I never had it to my lips.
Not even in church?
No, not even in church. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, in church I did.
Right.
I'm sorry, in
No,
church.
that's, I'm just.
Yeah, in church, that was the only time I just
You
touch
only
it.
started, you only did it a couple of years ago. You never did
I
it
know I only
before.
started about
When
4 years
we go to
ago.
weddings, if they give you champagne, you always drink the
I'll
water.
drink the water on it, and
Yeah, I'm the same way, actually.
really?
Yeah, I get some weird stuff in my
Wonderful.
family,
Good for
and
you, Mr.
wow, good for you.
Keeps,
Yeah, not only that, but I also made a promise too, because oh boy, I seen some guys in Boston. They were supposed to be playing, they'd be so drunk at the end of the night they couldn't even stand up, couldn't sing. And I said, if I'm going to perform, I'm going to perform 100%. I will never be like that. And that drove me. That drove me to make sure that when I went out on that stage, I would be 100%. They'd only get what I had.
How about guys in your band? Did you have trouble?
He set a rule they
Trouble
couldn't
with
drink
them.
until after 10 o'clock. They could have a drink after 10.
Yeah, but it was before then that they were drinking and
Oh, I
they were
know.
getting out of hand.
When you
This
played
was,
with Paul Doucet,
yeah,
he was the
they're all
same
getting
way.
out of hand.
Oh, God.
So in fact, I had to change my band twice because they were all drinking drunk. Finally, when I got my original band back, I said to them, "You guys can come back, but you can't have your first drink until 11 o'clock." So they went crazy, but they stayed with me. They did very good till he passed away too. I had another steel guitar player. He passed away. All the steel guitar players passed away. Yep. So
Vinny Calderone was telling me that one of the guys in that they've had three guys in his band with Angelo die from drinking.
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He replaced the first guy, and that guy died, and they
I didn't
replaced
know
him.
that. I see.
They
I only
were
know
heavy drinking. In
Angelo.
those days, they were heavy drinking.
Yeah, why do you
Well, it
think?
was cheap. I mean, you couldn't afford now to go
They
down
made
there.
their own stuff too, hon.
Yeah, Paul used to make him
They
and
made their own
Mel.
stuff. When we'd get off the stage in this particular place here, they'd go out in the backyard. They had a private parking lot. They would make all their own stuff and they would drink it while they were out there. And I didn't realize this until the police department caught them out there one day. And he wanted to know who was responsible. I said, "Well, I'm the leader of the band. I didn't know they were doing that." So I had to go down and bail them out of jail. They were drunk and making all kinds of noise in
I
the
think it was
backyard.
because, like I say, it was so cheap.
Yeah.
I remember they
Yeah.
used to have Thursday night used to be ladies' night. They used to have all you could drink for a dollar, was
Dollar.
it?
Yep.
On a Thursday night.
Wow.
All you
I mean,
can
that's
drink.
those days, they never allow them now anyhow.
Yeah, well, all you can drink for a
Yeah.
dollar.
This was beer.
Yeah,
Yeah. Only
still.
beer.
Beer.
All
Still.
the
Liquor.
all. Yeah, this was beer, all you could drink. But I remember the boss used to say to the waitress at the beginning of the night, "I don't care how many times that glass is empty. Don't go over there. Go around them. Tell them you'll see him in a few minutes." Because
Oh,
some of
yeah.
them would,
Right,
They would
yeah.
drink, yeah.
Some of them would swig it right down.
Yeah, it seems like
Even
so
the.
many of the guys in music that from around here have had problems with
A lot of
drinking.
problems with drinking, absolutely. Fact is, I only know two or three bands that really didn't drink. And it was so obvious, you'd get up there, you'd see the cigarette hanging out of their mouth, and everybody smoked in those days. I never smoked either. I never drank or smoked. You'd see the cigarette hanging out of them, they'd be up there performing, they'd forget the words, and it was a terrible sight. You just say, I would never allow myself to do that, People come up and they want to hear some good entertainment, and there's a drunk up there trying to perform. Terrible. That happened in Boston a lot too. I remember some of the bands out there. Of course, you know what it is too. Everybody wants to buy the band a drink.
Yeah. Or the club wants to
Yeah.
pay you in drinks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That worked both ways. That's right. I remember one guy that was working up there. He was working with Trenton Howell. He just drank all night long. He wouldn't even get a dime for it, but he could get all he wanted to drink. He wouldn't get a dime for it. But that's the way it was in those days,
But Joey and Tommy never drank much. Joey would have, but
No.
he used to give
Joey
at
Cal.
the end of the night all the help, the band, everything, two free drinks. And sometimes Tommy never even took the drinks.
No, he wouldn't
he
even take the drink, I know.
The steel player, he never even used to take a drink.
Joey wouldn't
drink. Somebody would offer him a drink, he said, I'll take the money.
No, the drummer wouldn't. Yeah, the drummer wouldn't drink either. He didn't drink.
Yeah, the drummer don't drink either.
So I had a good band. They were very good. A lot of music out of that band.
So, tell me a little bit more about when you were playing on the Hayloft Jamboree. Was it at Symphony Hall?
No, it was Mechanics Hall.
Okay.
I think we started out in Mechanics Hall, and geez, that was a great time for me. Let's see, was it Mechanics Hall? I think it was Mechanics Hall.
With Mechanic Building, honey. I think.
Yeah, it was Mechanics Hall.
What is it now?
It's
John Hancock. Hall?
John Hancock, yeah, because I remember they made the John Hancock afterwards. And I remember I opened up the whole set on the John Hancock because I had to play at night. So I had to open up the set for whoever was performing. Like we'd have a star come down maybe once a month. See, I can't even remember offhand who they were.
Tell me if you don't mind, I've read a bunch about the Hayloft Jamboree and I've talked to people like the Zacks and
yeah.
Other
people. Oh, you talk to them?
Yeah.
Good people, huh?
Yeah, really nice people.
Nice.
But I can't visualize it. Would you mind describing kind of what it looked like backstage?
You're going back.
Not at all. Not at all. What they did, Cliff, they had a huge stage, right up, like an assembly hall stage.
Yeah.
They had a huge stage, and the audience was all seats out this way here. And the stage had two entrances, the one on the left and one on the right. There was this guy called Aubrey Mayhew.
Mm-hmm.
He ran the whole thing. He was a thief.
Everybody says the same thing.
You remember Aubrey? Yeah.
No, I know who he is.
Yeah.
But.
He'd keep half the money for himself. And he ran it. And in the back, there were little rooms, you know, little rooms that were off there. And there was one big room where all the musicians would go. Like I told you, when Elton Britt came in, he came right in, he introduced himself, he said, I'm Elton Britt. He said he took the show over after Aubrey Mayhew. In fact, we went on strike one night, and I forget what we were being paid anyhow, but Gene Laverne came to all of us and he said, I don't know about you guys, but we're not performing tonight because Aubrey Mayhew took all the money and he left. He says, unless we get money, he says, we're not going to perform. So whatever happened, Gene worked it out with somebody, and we got paid for it that night. And that's when Elton Brick took over. And Elton ran the show for, I don't know how long, maybe 6 months or something. He had a television show also. And he advertised on the Hayloft Jamboree on the television show. He'd go on maybe once a week or twice a week. It was very good. But that's how Elton Britt came into the picture anyhow. This Aubrey Mayhew just took all the money that was coming in. In fact, Aubrey produces today. You see his name on record labels somewhere out of Nashville. So
did the musicians talk with one another a lot, or did everyone kind of stick with their own group?
No, we all talked very good. We all talked to each other. That's more than I can say for different places that we've played. No, we're all very close to each other. And everything we did, we took it by a vote. You know, we were like Joey and Slim, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And we would all talk to each other. And whatever we decided to do, we decided to do as a group. And Gene Laverne was really good.
Hmm.
Boy, he was really good.
Did you know Jim and Ruth Center at all?
No.
No, or... Now, you're not related to Jerry Devine, are you?
No, but I do know Jerry very well.
Okay.
Yeah, Jerry is a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's unfortunate right now, but he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he had a great voice, I think.
Yes, Jerry had a good, good voice. He still has a good voice.
Mm-hmm.
He still can sing, but he don't want to. He's embarrassed now.
Yeah?
Well, he's still in the wheelchair, I imagine. I think he is.
I think so.
Yeah, he can't move out of there, but Jerry's a nice guy. I was never too close to him, but Jerry was. I remember he was on the Hayloft Jamboree, I believe, too.
Yeah.
I remember I used to tease him about it. He used to do a song that I liked all the time, and I can't even remember the name of it. But I remember when he got sick, I wrote him a postcard and I put the name of the song on there. I should remember this song. I never got an answer back anyhow. But he had an excellent voice. In fact, all the talent on there was really good. And they thought they would do much more with the Hayloft Jamboree, but unfortunately it wasn't run right.
Yeah.
As far as talent-wise is concerned, it was great.
What kind of a signal did the show have? I mean, how far away were people listening to
it? You know, that I really can't tell you, because I really don't know. I don't know how strong it was at all. But I do know they had a tremendous following, because every show we put on was a packed house.
Yeah? About how big was the hall? Like, how
many? I would say it had to hold, this is just a guess.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to visualize what it was. I would say it had to hold at least 200 or 300 people.
Okay.
Easy. Easy.
And was it kind of like Grand Ole Opry? I mean, was it like a variety show? Were there skits and stuff?
No. That was just mostly all singing on it.
Okay.
Yeah. And the biggest thrill I got in my life, Hawkshaw Hawkins was there.
Oh, yeah.
They had him as a star one night. And, he was what a figure of a guy he was. With his boots, he was about 6'11". And he wore this big shirt with a hawk on the back of it. I remember I loved that shirt, which I got later on. Anyhow, I got to know him very, very well. And we went out to supper together, and I showed him Boston, just locally where it was and what he was doing. But the biggest thrill I got is maybe a year later, he had a song out, it was called, I think it was a Rattlesnake and Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
And it was going very good for him. And he came down to the Jamboree again. And I think this time it was in the John Hancock. No, it wasn't, because all the steps were there in the beginning of the Mechanics Hall. And I was walking up the stairs with my guitar in my hand. I heard somebody holler, "Hey, Sandy!" I looked around. I said, "Jesus, who knows me? Nobody knows me around here." And there, getting out of the car, was Hawkshaw Hawkins.
Nice.
And I said, "This guy remembered me from a year ago." And I thought, I didn't make that great an impact on the guy. I just showed him where to eat, and we went out to eat. And I was so thrilled that he remembered me.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest thrills in life.
Huh. See?
Simple, but it was a thrill for me. Because
sure.
There's a guy that was on the national.
Yeah, he was a big star.
Gee, he was a big star at the time being. So eventually he played down at Tremont Plaza with us one night. And he said, "You guys like this shirt so much, I'm going to give it to you." He gave us the shirt.
Nice.
Well, did you take it in, honey? Or somebody took it in
to
fit?
For a long time.
I think you
I
took
it
in to fit.
Me,
yeah.
It big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think I gave it away eventually. Anyhow. Huh. But that was a big thrill for me.
Wow. That's exciting. So, did you ever aspire to, become a star, or did you just want to stay locally?
No,
or?
I didn't. I had the opportunity. We had the opportunity. We were doing in between the Arizona Pals and the Fabulites. We were doing a little bit of rock and roll, and what we did, we got the name the Fabulites. Say, for example, it was a stage like this, and we had all this strobe lighting that was up there, and we'd wear like red ties, a white jacket, and it would glow. So that's where we got the name the Fabulites from. And when we did turn rock and roll, we did a heck of a job on rock and roll. We had all these steps that we would do and everything. And one night this guy come in. He was a booking agent from, I can't remember where he was from. But he wanted to book us on a tour. He would buy all the uniforms for us. And he wanted us to tour all the way through Florida, all the way down to the West Coast out there. And I refused it. And I told the guys, "If you want to go, you guys go. But you take one piece out of the band," and it was no good. So none of them went.
Hmm.
None of them went. So we had the opportunity. All I wanted to do, because I was one of the few guys that was working during the day at the time being, and I had an excellent job, so I was not about to give that up. So I had no aspirations.
You had young children.
I just wanted to play locally, and that's all I wanted to do.
Hmm.
I didn't want to be a star. I didn't want to be nothing. So that's about it.
Did you record?
I recorded one song at one time, but it was a song that Marty Robbins did. It never went nowhere.
What song?
Please Don't Let Me Love You. And the guy said to me at the end of the recording, and he said, you know, this song is very good. But he said, Marty Robbins did this, and he made a big hit out of it. And at the time being, when they were playing it on the radio station, I don't know if you can ever remember this or not, Cliff, but it was called Payola.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah. And unless you coughed up a large amount of money, they were not about to play your song. They would play the worst song in the world as long as they get paid for it. So my song, I don't even think, was played once a week. So it never went nowhere.
Wow.
Yeah, it didn't do nothing. So that's the only song I ever recorded.
How about when you were playing on radio? Did they ever record any radio transcriptions?
No.
No?
Not to my knowledge. They never did anything. Nope. There were so many of them at the time being. And I bet you they had, like we had an afternoon show, I think it was from 4 to 4:30. Then somebody else would come on from 4:30 to 5, then 5 to, that went on for about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
It was all country music because simply it was going so strong at the time being.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
I don't know what else I can tell you.
Well, I don't know if you would mind. Would you mind playing a couple songs for
Not
me?
At all. I'd be very happy to do that.
I'll pause this.
They're all homemade. They don't sound that.
Where am I gonna live when I get home? My old lady thrown out everything I own. She meant what she said when she wished that I were dead. Where am I gonna live when I get home? She decided she would keep my cat, my transportation, I wouldn't be needing that. She took my TV, the bill she gave to me. Where am I gonna live when I go home? I got a white sport coat and a pink carnation. I am all dressed up for the dance. I got a white sport coat and a pink carnation. I am all alone in Rome. Once you told me long ago, to the prom with me you'd go. Now you change your mind, it seems. Someone else will hold my dream away. Sport coat and a pink carnation. I'm in a blue.
Do you remember any of the Irish tunes?
Any of the Irish songs? No.
Maybe one of the ones your mom.
Yeah. Let me see, what is that song? I'm trying to think of. I just like this one here. If I can get my key, I got it. I can't think of the name of it. Years ago, me father left old Lenny Shore. brought with him a shillelagh stick and devil a penny more. Got a job, he got a wife, and then a family. But when he died, he left that old shillelagh stick for me. It's the same old shillelagh me father brought from Ireland. Devil the man be prouder than him as he walked with it in his hand. He'd lead a parade in Paddy's Day and twirl it around his mitt. And devil the man would laugh at him, me dad would have a fit. It's the same old shillelagh me father could lick any dozen men. As fast as they'd get up, be golly, he'd knock them down again. Many a time he used it on me to make me understand. The same old shillelagh me father brought from Ireland. That's even the wrong key. I don't know what key is, but so long as I did that.
All right.
I know, it's so long. Every St. Patrick's, he used to do almost the whole night.
Well, I used to have
his words.
I used to have a book that, you know, because you only do the those type of songs, they call them St. Patrick Day song, just the once a year, and then you'd forget them. You wouldn't do them the rest of the year. And then I lost the book that I had to it. I don't know what happened to it.
What was your signature song?
My signature song? That's hard to say. I had so many songs that people attributed to me that... No. What would I say?
I'll tell you a close house song. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Well, yeah, when we used to leave, we used to do a little thing.
I love this song.
Good night, everybody. Good night. We hope you get home all right. What a pleasure it was playing for you. I'm so sorry the evening is through. We had a wonderful time, and the whole of the evening it was fine. I'll see you when we'll do it again. Good night, everybody, good night. Good night, everybody, good night. We're hoping you get home all right. Your kisses, they're sweeter, sweeter than wine. I made that mistake, I thought they were mine. I was wrong, little girl, so wrong. Get along, little girl, get along. The ring on your finger tells me not to linger. Good night, everybody, good night, good night. Good night, everybody, good night. That was a sign-off song.
Is that one of yours?
Yeah. The last verses.
Okay.
I mean the last verse. Yeah, the first verse was somebody else's. I don't know.
I like that one.
Yeah.
And
right.
Everybody used to stand around and wait for him to
yeah.
sing it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That would be the farewell song of the night. But so long since I did them, I can't remember them anymore. Jesus. Anything else I can do?
What would you say, really anything. Maybe one of the earliest songs you remember learning?
This is a real... When we used to do this, we had what we do, the crying steel guitar. And the steel guitar would cry on it. I used to love this song. This is way back. Called Many Tears Ago.
Many tears ago, you said you loved me. Oh, how happy was this heart of mine. And then a dark cloud came from out of nowhere, and the sun went down, no more to shine. Many tears ago, I learned turned to Ella. What it means to bear a heavy load. I found out just what was meant by sorrow. Many tears ago, a long life's road.
That's so many verses to that, but that was one of the, and I'm hoarse. The thing got to me.
It's a nice one.
Yeah, it is.
Who wrote that?
I don't know who wrote that one. I think that might have been done by the Sons of the Pioneer at one time.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of verses to that, but that's just what I used to like about that. That guy on a steel guitar, he would just cry, you know, on that steel guitar, and mm-hmm. I used to love it. Yeah.
Nice. All right. How about? Let me just see. I don't know how much time left in this, unfortunately. Looks like I got time for two more.
Okay.
Why don't you do our song when we met?
Oh, have I?
Oh, that'd be nice.
This is our song.
Have I told you lately that I love you?
Have I told you lately that I love you? Could I tell you once again somehow? Have I told with all my heart and soul how I adore you, darling? I'm telling you now, this heart would break into if you refuse me. For I am no good without you anyhow. Have I told you lately that I love you? Darling, I'm telling.
Fingers don't even want to do it.
Alright.
You used to sing that to me all the time when we were dating.
Have I told you lately that I loved you?
We used to ride our horses. We both had a horse down the open air theater in Saugus.
Nice.
We used to go on the hill and watch the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's tied the horses up in back and watch the movies.
Yeah, up on the hill and the movie, you know, the air was there. We'd watch the movie.
It's the wrong time for me to be singing, I'll tell you that much.
Would you mind doing one more Irish tune for me?
Irish tune, yeah. What can I do? Give me a hint, honey, will you?
Have him give you a hint.
No, he don't know what I know.
Do you know any Irish songs?
I know some Irish songs, but I don't know, you know, I don't know which ones you know, so.
When Irish eyes a smiling sure is like the morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you could hear the angels sing. When Irish happy, the world is bright and gay. But when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they'll steal your heart away.
Yeah, that's the fan over there.
Yeah.
It's a fan on the back of my neck over there. Yeah.
All right. Well, I should maybe let you take a break then. Did you ever yodel?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
I yodeled an awful lot at one time. I was very good at it, but in the recent years, I've lost the yodeling. Johnny was the best yodeler I ever heard locally. And Johnny and I, at the end of the night, when we get through, we'd leave the place, the club I was at, we'd go to the Hillbilly Ranch in Boston. We'd see the Lane Brothers. We used to love the Lane Brothers over there. They were so good. They recorded, and they were nationally known, too. But the thing I'm getting at is when we used to leave, we used to yodel, see who could yodel best. A single, double, triple, and we'd both do them all together. And at the time being, he was always superior than I was. But at the time being, I could do everything that he could do. But later on in life, after I left the club and everything, I'm not yodeling an awful lot. See, he's noted for his yodeling. I was noted for my singing. And for not using that muscle over there, you lose it a lot. And
yeah.
I'm good for about maybe, like, if I get up on the stage and if I can yodel within, say, 10 to 15 minutes, I'm all right. I have that yodeling. But after that, after I lose my voice, forget it. The yodeling part's gone.
Huh.
But I was a very good yodeler at one time. And I had a lot of tapes at one time when I used to yodel. I don't have them anymore, but I say, is that me? I can't believe that was me. It's a double, triple, used to do them all.
Huh.
Eventually I may get it back, I don't know.
Yeah, wow. Do you remember if there were any old-timers when you were a kid who were playing hillbilly music or country music?
Any old-timers around?
I think you were one of the first ones that went to.
No, I think when they talk about old-timers, they'd probably talk about me.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, at the time being, they weren't devoted to the music the way I was. And you'd see a band for a week here and a week there. And it is what you'd call a band. Like we talked earlier, they'd be drinking, they'd be out for a night. And until I come along, I stabilized the whole city of Lynn. And everybody used to try to do what I did at the time being.
Trent Hall and what's his name?
And you see, and I was there way before Trent.
Country Fever. I don't know if you've heard of Country Fever. I think he's about your age, isn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't have the band that I had.
No.
He just played once in a while. He didn't play that often. So there were nothing offhand that I could think of, Cliff. That I think I was the original one in the city of Lynn.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was there for about over 50 years, and Lynn, 55 years, somewhere around there.
Okay. All right. I guess while I still have a couple seconds of tape, do you mind if I guess I need your permission to use this in my research, and I'll probably drop a copy of the recording in the archives at the Massachusetts Cultural Council.
I'm not familiar.
There's a state cultural council in Boston.
Okay.
That has an archive of interviews and recordings.
Oh,
by you know, musicians and different artists of, you know, traditional arts.
You have my permission.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
All right.
No problem.
And since you're right here too, Aurora.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aurora.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, really and truly. I'm glad to see somebody has got interest in this.
Well, I think it's great music.
Instead of letting it all fail. Yeah, when we're all in voice, it's all good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
It's unusual for somebody young like you that's interested in country music.
Well, I think it's great music. And
yeah. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Gee, you don't even look that old.
Well, my wife keeps me young.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Let me put this.
All right.
Well,
thank you for playing for me.
Thank you, Cliff. I'm glad. Sorry it wasn't better than it was.
No, it was great.
Yeah.